Philippians in the chapter 4. And we'll read together from the verse 1. Philippians in the chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, a true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with my other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. And may the Lord bless his word to each of our hearts. We spent time, of course, in this book of Philippians just last year in our prayer meeting series. And as we come to this final portion of the fourth chapter of the Epistle to the Philippians, we come to the twilight time of Paul's ministry. Death is just a step away, as it were, and Paul himself knows that his time on earth is limited as he pens this letter to a church and to a people who are near and dear to his own heart. There have been several times before, even throughout this epistle, that perhaps we thought that Paul was going to sign this letter off, but nevertheless, the Spirit of the Lord continued and so did his pen. And so we come to this fourth chapter. And as he does so, he leaves the people there with a real exhortation from his heart, as he speaks to them from the heart to the heart, ever seeking to encourage and to exhort them in the right way, and indeed in the right walk and fellowship with their Savior. And so as we come to this hour this morning, I simply want to leave with you the words of verse 8 that tell us there, as Paul writes to the church at Philippi, and simply says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. There's much that could be said at times such as this. There's much, perhaps, that needs to be said at times such as this. But I believe that as we come to this hour this morning, that this time we spend together is served by no better purpose than exhorting each of us to do what the Word of God simply commands us to do in this verse, and that is to focus our minds upon the things that be of Christ. The first thing that we notice here in this verse is the action that is encouraged. For Paul, as he writes these words, he says this list of good attributes and simply says at the end, think on these things. You know, in our minds every day, you and I process thoughts many times, perhaps without even acknowledging that we do. Scientists tell us that in an average man or woman's mind, up to 70,000 thoughts a day are processed. Now, if you consider yourself to be perhaps of greater intellectual ability, then you may be pushing up to 80 to 85,000 thoughts. But we'll stick together all in the one pile in the 70,000, shall we, just for today. But nevertheless, at 70,000 thoughts, that's quite a lot of things that go through your mind. That's quite a lot of moments that are engaged in thinking upon something or another. And we can spend our time, we can focus our minds upon that which is good or that which is bad. But nevertheless, as we come to the Word of God this morning, and as Paul writes to the church at Philippi, and as this has been preserved for us even until this day, the Word of God encourages us to think. Many times it's been said that Christianity is a thinking man's religion. And there's great truth to that whenever we consider the need that is upon us all to focus our hearts, to focus our minds daily upon the Word of God. If you or I went tomorrow to sign up to some sort of relaxation course, whether it be yoga or some other form of worldly meditation, we would gather together in a room and we would be exhorted by our instructor to get into a state of mind where our minds are empty. To empty ourselves of our thoughts, to empty ourselves of the things that preoccupy us. But do you know that that process of emptying ourselves is against everything that God's Word teaches us? Because God's Word, whenever it tells us to meditate, whenever it tells us to think upon, whenever it tells us to dwell upon, it's simply instructing us and it's simply advising us to saturate our minds, to fill our minds to the very brim of everything that His Word contains, of everything that is good, of everything that is proper. And therefore, whenever we come to face the challenges of life, that soul who faces adversity, that soul who faces challenges and difficulties beyond all human comprehension, they'll know what it is to overcome as they focus their minds upon the things of Christ. You know, many times you and I can think about and have thoughts about that which is not wholesome. That which we probably never articulate one to another. Many of those such moments are, I believe, the attacks, the darts that the Bible describes of Satan that are fired into the mind and into the life of a believer. He's seeking to distract us from that which is good. He's seeking to take our focus and our minds upon that which we have been instructed to do. And many times in our preaching we go back to the very Garden of Eden, but even there in the Garden of Eden we see such a ploy by the wicked one. He comes with his own thoughts, he comes with his own plan, and in the mind of Eve he tricks and deceives her into thinking that he is offering something better. He distracts her from the clear command of God's Word, touch not the tree that's in the midst of the garden. And thereby, by that trickery, by that master deception, even at the very beginning of time, sin enters into the world and death by sin. And so, continuing all through the catalogues of history, right down to this generation, day by day, moment by moment, into the life of every believer, into the life of every true follower of God, I truly believe that Satan fires those darts to distract our minds and to take our eyes off that which is good, that which the Lord would have us to focus upon. And therefore, as we come together in this hour, and as we look to the future, whatever it may hold one for another, and whatever the Lord has planned for us, as even people in this place, as we gather in this house today, the Word of God would help us to know and to acknowledge this, that our minds are to be fixed, they're to be meditating, they're to be thinking upon Him and upon His Word. Remember Psalm 1. It tells us, of course, that that good man, what does he do? He delights in his law. And on his law doth he meditate both day and both night. We've just finished Joshua 1, and the verse 8, this book of the law, this Bible, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night. And so there's that encouragement in both of those verses, both from the psalmist and indeed from God's servant Joshua to the people, that it be they be involved in the daily exercise of meditating, of thinking upon the very Word of God. You know, the future is always uncertain. No matter what stage of life we find ourselves in, we know not what tomorrow may bring. But we know the one who holds tomorrow. And therefore, Paul, with this full assurance, even that the God who holds his times in his hands, the God who has a perfect plan, who in his will and according to his time is working that plan out in the way that he chooses, he encourages the people who are near and dear to his heart as he seeks to pen this letter, this farewell, as it were, to the people of Philippi. He encourages them, do not focus on tomorrow, focus on the one who holds tomorrow. Focus on the word of that one who holds tomorrow, that word that never changes, yesterday, today, and forever. The word of God remains the same. The flower may fade, the grass may wither, but the word of God abideth forever. And so as we come this morning to consider this verse, notice the action that's encouraged. Think upon the things of God. Let your hearts, let your minds be captivated by nothing else than the word of God. And so let's then not also look at the action that is encouraged, but look even at the attributes which are described. First, Paul writes here in verse 8, he says, whatsoever things are true. One of the things that we should focus our minds on is the truth. Remember, God's word is truth. Jesus Christ himself was said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Remember also that the Word of God tells us that the church's one role in this society, in the world in which God has placed it, is to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. That as a body of God's people, you should desire to uphold the truth unwaveringly and unchangingly, although society may change, although times may change, although even your own life may change. You're to uphold the truth of God's Word unwaveringly and unchangingly in the community in which he has placed you. Well, we come at such a crucial time in our world, in our generation, in our own lives. A time whenever God's word is not even a by-thought anymore. Oh, may we as God's people ever uphold the truth. May we dwell upon his word. May we ever unashamedly pronounce Jesus Christ and him crucified. The truth of his word is simply this: salvation is by none other name and in no other way except by Christ alone. And so you have the things that are true. But he says not only the things that are true, he describes then the things that are honest. Honesty is, of course, a quality that is lacking very much in much of society today. You only have to cast your mind back just a few months or even a year ago to elections that were held and think of all the promises that politicians have made that have already been broken. You only have to take a trip outside of this church door and walk not even 100 yards to find families that have been wrecked all because dishonesty has prevailed. Because promises have been made and so easily cast aside. You only have to visit homes and workplaces to find employees who have been promised something, but even said today, ruining the fact that the employer has not delivered on what they promised to do. We live in a world in which dishonesty prevails, in which dishonesty is perpetuated as the truth, where even in many quarters, sadly, it's believed as the truth. Accepted as the truth. But the Bible encourages us to focus on that which is honest. If we can be nothing else in life, we should seek to be true. True to ourselves. True to others. and true to the God whom we claim to serve. And so Paul writes and says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, by just, what does he mean? He simply is referring to that which does right by God, by right by others. It's remembering, of course, that we're here, we're placed in this world to be a beacon and a light for God. That even by our words we are judged, but also more so by our conduct. Oh, it's easy to say something, but are we focusing our minds on ensuring that our walk and our talk match up to the just things that are found in the Word of God? Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. Oh, my friends, if there's anything in life that we all need, it is to ensure our purity before God. The clear command of God is, be ye holy, as I am holy. He tells us to come out from amongst them and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. We are to live a life above and beyond. Remember, we've often said it, that the Christian life is not choosing between good and bad. The Christian life is always about choosing between what's good and what's best. And we must always choose what is best. We live in a world in which vileness is ever increasing, where even at such a young age, our children and our young people are confronted with things in life that they should have no knowledge of. But surely it's sad to say and true to say that even within the Christian home, there's a higher level of tolerance now against the things of impurity in this world. How easy do we often find it to continue watching a program or to continue watching a movie that contains some profanity, that promotes a lifestyle that's contrary to the teaching and to the way of God? The tolerance level amongst Christians has been raised, but not in a good way. Oh, we should ever seek out those things that are pure. Remember, the Bible tells us, guard the heart, because out of it are all the issues of life. We have to protect our ear gate. We have to protect our eye gate. We must protect our mind. For all of those things will lead us even into a lifestyle which is impure. A wise man once said that wrong thoughts become wrong words. Wrong words become wrong actions. Wrong actions become wrong habits. Wrong habits become wrong character. Wrong character ends in the wrong destiny. And friends, as we gather here this morning, the Bible exhorts us here, focus our minds on that which is pure. Say no to the things of this world and to the enticements of it, and guarding our hearts and minds in the way of the Christian life. Not only is it true, not only is it honest, not only is it just, not only is it pure, but he says, whatsoever things are lovely. And here, as he writes, he's focusing on those things which promote that feeling even of goodness amongst us. Those things that point us to Christ and reveal to us even the very qualities of Christ within us. He goes on to say, whatsoever things are of good report, and the two are almost linked together, for the things that are lovely on the inside will be seen on the outside, and thereby our testimony will be sure and firm in the eyes of an unbelieving world. This is so true to say that many within this world will never judge the book, but they will judge the follower of the book. If we claim to be a Christian, if we claim to be one who knows and who loves the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Then the loveliness that is prompted from within as we dwell upon the things of Christ, of what he means to us, of what he's done to us, and as that then transforms our character, our thoughts, our actions, and our words, that leads even then to the outer appearance being of good report. Something which is spoken well of in the community in which we live. Something which is spoken well of amongst the people among whom we work. Something which is spoken well of even amongst our own friends and family. That God himself is glorified even as we dwell upon these things. And so he says these things that are true, these things that are honest, these things that are just, these things that are pure, these things that are lovely, these things that are of good report if there be any virtue. Paul here is saying that we should mark these things and gauge these things by the virtue that they produce. That virtue, the word virtue, is the moral goodness. It's exactly who we are. Not who we profess to be, who we really are. And therefore, Paul is saying if we are in a state of confusion, perhaps, or if we are seeking to discern what are the things that are true, what are the things that are honest, what are the things that are just, what are the things that are pure, what are the things that are lovely, what are the things that are of good report, the simple barometer even to measure them against us is do they produce a good moral character and quality within. Because all of the things that we have just spoken of, they have all one thing in common. What are they? They are things that remind us of Christ. Christ it was who spoke the words that are true. Christ it was who was honest in all his doings. There was no impurity found in him. Christ it was who was just. He treated everyone equally and just, for he is a great judge. Christ is the one who is lovely. Christ is the one who was of good report. Pilate himself said, I can find no fault in him. And therefore the things that we should focus our minds upon, the things that we should dwell upon, the things that we should seek to live out, are the things that bring us closer to a Christ-like appearance. It says, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, the closer we get to Christ, the more we shall praise him, and the more he shall be praised of us. The Bible says then these attributes which are described. And then look at the very beginning of the verse. And Paul simply says, finally, brethren. And this is his final, as it were, statement to the church. It's also his final exhortation. It's also his final challenge that they must respond to. And so as we finish even this chapter of life together, how will you respond to the Word of God? You see, there are some amongst us who have still to come to that knowledge of the truth. That truth that there is salvation and in it none other name and no other way except by faith in Christ alone. There are some amongst us who have come to a knowledge of the truth but have departed even therefrom. They're not upholding the things that are true, which are pure, which are just, which are of good report. How will your heart, how will your mind be affected by this challenge? You see, as we come to even summarize this verse together, surely it's summarized in no better way than the words even of Martin Lloyd-Jones as he writes about this verse, and he says, let the mind of the Master be the master of your mind. And so as we leave this challenge with you, will you dwell upon that which is good? Will you dwell upon that which brings you closer to Christ? when you dwell upon that which produces within you more Christ-likeness? Will you let the mind of the Master be the master of your mind? Because in verse 13, Paul gives us a secret to it all. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Your mind and my mind is a battleground. It always has been and it always will be. But we can conquer in the name of Christ. We can remain encouraged. We can remain a people who go forward. We can remain a people who rejoice in the Lord. We can remain a people who are effective in our ministry and in our witness for Christ. If we do things in the strength of Christ. And therefore, as Paul writes to the Philippians, the simple challenge this morning is, what will your mind be upon? For my exhortation to you is whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, think, act, practice these things. May God bless each and every one of you. And his word to each of our hearts.